All right, the master plan weeks ago was for us to be talking about the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with Ty Anderson of the Sports. Well, we'll be doing that, but just, you know, without the Bruins there. Ty, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, how we doing?
Well, you know, I'm still a week later, a bit numb that the Bruins are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I'd agree. It feels very weird. You know, you kind of prepare to make plans for, you know, 2 months. You kind of put your life on hold for 2 months, saying, I can't commit to that. There might be a playoff game that night. And then, you know, it's over after 13 days. So definitely different, definitely an empty feeling. I think for all those, you know, not only the players, but the coaching, the staff, the, you know, the people who work at the arenas, it's been a really kind of bizarre, you know, week now, basically, since this happened, where I don't think anyone was expecting. Even when it went to, you know, went to the game six, went to the game seven, you were thinking, well, this team has been great all year. They're going to not be great now. And then sure enough, you know, they lose three in a row, just the second time all year, and it happens at the absolute worst time for them.
As you look back with a little time to process, what went wrong? What were the biggest culprits in seeing the Bruins not only lose, but blow a 3-1 lead?
Yeah, I think just the failure to get back to what made you such a great team all year, you know, in terms of your adjustments, in terms of your goaltending rotation, to kind of to veer away from all of that in a 7-game series. I mean, we were seeing lines, Rich, that we've never seen all year long. And you're thinking, you're going to go to this now in game three, game four, you're going to go to a line or a combination that we simply haven't seen at any point this year. Just kind of bizarre coaching moves from Jim Montgomery, who did a terrific job this year in the regular season. But in the playoffs, it really seemed like he couldn't make that adjustment that the Bruins really needed, you know, to get the series going in their favor.
Well, and let's start with the goaltending situation, too. Was it a mistake in retrospect to alternate your goalies all year long and then lean completely on Allmark in the postseason?
I think so, and listen, it's easy to say hindsight is 20/20 now, right? And you know, if you knew that Linus was going to play the way he did in Game Six, you wouldn't have gone to him in Game Six. But I do think that Game Five is where it kind of really kind of turned for me in terms of you know, you get through the games three and four down in Florida. Linus Ullmark was a game time decision for both games. He ended up playing. He played well in both games, but he came back to Boston with a 3-1 series lead, right? And it was known that Linus was battling something. We didn't know what, we didn't know the severity, but he was not 100%. But if you're coming back to Boston with a 3-1 series lead, that is about as close to a consequence-free start as you can find for Jeremy Swayman in the postseason. Up 3-1, you're in your building. And even if you lose, you can say that you found a moral victory within the fact that you got Linus Ullmark 5 days of rest, right? So, but they didn't. And then sure enough, they go to Swayman in the game seven. I would say it's almost too late at that point. So he hasn't played 17 games. And that was the problem, I thought. Just game five, I thought, was the real problem for them, when not maximizing the ability to go to a goaltender and not have your season be on the line, you know, that night.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. So now, in the offseason, earlier than expected, and likely to be some changes to the roster. Let's start with what may well be the obvious ones. What about Bergeron and Krejci?
So, listen, reading the tea leaves in May is always hard. But if you were going to ask me today what I think happens, I think Bergeron is back, and I think Krejci retires. Just based on the tenor of their conversations with us on breakup day, you know, Bergeron, I think as much as it's been about, you know, winning a championship or going out on top, I also think it's about him being an effective NHL player. And he's still just so good, right? And I think that for him, it there's an element of, well, if I'm still healthy and I'm a you know, darn good player in this league, I'm going to keep playing. And so I think that is the case. So I do think Bergeron is back. I think Krejci, it was a hard year for him, you know, being away from his family. They did not join him in Boston, so that was an issue. If the team wasn't good, he probably would have left, he said. He probably would have gone home mid-season. So, you know, I think that just when you have in those kind of, you know, debates in your head, I think the sign that you're close to being done But I do think Bergeron is back, provided they can field a good team around him, if that makes sense.
All right, other possible departures, and there are a lot of them here. People like Orlov, Foligno, Connor Clifton. Who else has options, and who else does the team have options on?
Yeah, so I think that Clifton is going to cash in elsewhere. He played really good this year. Playoffs were a different story, I know, but ultimately I think he may have priced himself out of Boston's range. Dmitry Orlov, I think, is also gone. Tyler Bertuzzi they would like to keep, but I failed to see how it happens financially. It seems like there's a lot of moving pieces there required to keep him around. Nick Foligno, there's mutual interest, but the price has to make sense, and by that I mean he has to make basically the league minimum or close to it, and if you want, you can do some bonus incentives like you did with Bergeron and Krejci, that could come off the cap 2 years from now, but there's going to be a lot of movement, right? And I think that of that group of free agents and guys that you look at that could be back, I think that they'll try to move the most mountains to keep Tyler Bertuzzi, but I just don't see how it happens.
Now, I've seen some talk out there that Jeremy Swayman might not be back. Do you see that as being a realistic possibility?
No, he's a part of this group, both Swayman, Trent Frederick, and also Jacob Lauko. They are all restricted free agents, which means they don't really have a lot of options. If someone came to them with an offer sheet, they could sign it, and the Bruins would either match or take the draft pick compensation. But we've been doing this now for 20 years, I want to say, in terms of the RFA process, and I think there's been maybe 3 or 4 offer sheets in the entire time we've done that in terms of, players leaving via the offer sheet. So I see them sticking around, but price is going to be the really interesting debate here for all those players. Swayman had a great year. Frederick had a career-high 17 goals with no power play time. So you look at it that way, and these guys should get some money, but they don't have a lot of options. So what happens there? Do the Bruins get them to settle on bridge deals and then try to pay them, say 2 years from now when the cap isn't as tight as it is right now? So I think both those guys are sticking around. I honestly, Rich, think that there's a greater chance of Linus Ullmark getting traded than Jeremy Swayman leaving the Bruins.
When you look at the Bruins' success in the regular season, shattering the records for wins and for points, and then the playoff collapse, and we look at recent history with those teams that led the league in victories, might that cause teams to change the way they approach the regular season?
I mean, it's really an interesting question because I think the Bruins really did about as good of a job as you could ask in terms of managing their guys down the stretch, making sure they built in some rest days, making sure that they didn't let the record consume themselves. They were sitting Bergeron on the second leg of back-to-back down the stretch, right? And they sat David Krejci the final 7 games of the regular season. Guys like Hampus Lindholm, Charlie McAvoy, Dmitry Orlov, they all got rest days. So, it's really interesting. I think that, if the Bruins could have one thing, and you want to win as many games as you can. That's the name of the game. But I do think if the Bruins could have had it their way, maybe there's someone chasing them down the stretch, that forces them to elevate their game mentally. I think that going from 0 to 60 in the playoffs, I think it did surprise some of their players. I think that they were so used to that mindset of don't get hurt. You want to be healthy for the playoffs, and then it was, okay, now the playoffs are here. I think it did surprise them a little bit, so I think what would have helped the Bruins is if they had, say, Toronto or Tampa right behind them, chasing them all season long, but that race was over in January, right? So I think the mental component is the hardest part to manage, and, the physical component, they tried, but you can't simulate, getting your mind into this is a dogfight, we got to win this until you're actually in it, and sometimes it's too late.
We're talking with Ty Anderson on Downtown. Well, let's take a quick look at some of the other playoff series that are going. Well, the Maple Leafs got the first-round monkey off their back, but it looks like they've run into a buzzsaw as Florida is continuing to play great hockey.
Yeah, they've been really great, and it's kind of, it's funny. You watch that series, and it's very similar to the Bruins series where, they're really pressuring Toronto into making mistakes, and those mistakes end up in the back of their net. So, Florida, we were just talking about this, right? The mental component. They've been playing playoff games since January. right? And I think you're starting to see it kind of pay off for them, where their mentality and their focus is in such a good spot right now that, you know, they blitzed the top team in the league, and now they're blitzing, you know, Toronto was, what, the fourth or fifth best team in the league this year? So you're looking at a team that just the mindset and the energy and the focus, you know, it's really making up for a lot of things they lack. And by that, I mean elite goaltending. Bobrovsky's good, but he's not great anymore. And their defense, Brandon Montour is a strong player, but beyond that, a lot of veteran guys or a lot of guys are a little past their prime. But, you know, just their dogged determination on the puck has been really something to see here.
Carolina up 2-1 on the Devils. Who do you like in that series?
You know, I still like Carolina, and I say that because, you know, even if the Canes were to lose every game in Jersey, Game 7 will be in their building, kind of similar to how the Bruins series went last year, where, you know, I watch Carolina on home ice, and I just see a fantastic team, a team that really knows how to generate momentum in their building and capitalize on it. So I'm still sticking with Carolina, but an 8-goal barrage from the Devils is pretty impressive.
A couple of good series going out west. Who do you like there?
You know, it's interesting. I really like Dallas. They were my pick entering the playoffs to win the West. But Seattle is really, really finding some holes in their armor there. Jake Ottinger does not look like the Jake Ottinger that I saw for the entire regular season. And you look at Seattle, their commitment to blocking shots is very impressive. Dave Hackstall and former Providence coach Jay Leach has them buying in defensively 100% in terms of what they need to do to win games. So I'm sticking with Dallas, but I'm telling you, that Seattle team has given me a lot of reasons to believe what they're doing right now.
Well, Ty, it has been great. We appreciate all your work this hockey season. Even though it ended earlier than we expected, it was an incredibly fun and exciting year, and we appreciate you always keeping us on top of things, and we'll look forward to catching up with you on a regular basis in the off season as well.
Awesome. Can't wait for it. Thank you again for having me all season long. It's always great to talk hockey with you guys, and looking forward to the next one for sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Ty. Be well.
You too.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub.